A generation-defining federal election and a new district have made a busy year for Sydney Glace Bay Liberal MP Mike Kellaway. Kellaway sat down with CKOA Radio to discuss a wide range of issues, including the election, his new district, Prime Minister Mark Carney, the new Memorandum of Understanding for the Alberta to British Columbia pipeline, and those who have crossed the aisle to join the Liberals in the last few months. Kellaway also reflected on the challenges and highlights 2025 has brought, and looked ahead to what's coming in 2026. So we're chatting with Mike Kellaway, Sydney Glace Bay MP, coming to the end of the year here. It's been a pretty busy year, a consequential year, I'll say, you know, between a federal election and you're in a brand new district. Just, I guess, first off, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling very privileged, to be frank. The last year, and if you look at the latter part of 2024, it was around this time that we had the resignation of Chrystia Freeland, and we had, quite frankly, turmoil within the Liberal Party in terms of the leadership of Justin Trudeau, and then we had Mark Carney come on to the scene, an election, running in a new riding, as you mentioned, getting notification of that the day before the election day was called, was interesting. But look, it was another moment of being humbled and being privileged to knock on doors and talk to folks in a new riding, and then getting elected, you know, with a majority of the vote, which was very, once again, an honor and a privilege. And then from there, being appointed Parliamentary Secretary to Transport and Internal Trade and leading the charge in the committee on behalf of the minister to get Bill C-5 in, which was eliminating internal trade barriers between the provinces and the federal government, was a great honor. And continuing to serve this area and working on some major projects, Jacob, is really key for me and servicing the folks on an individual case basis. And we have some really, I think, some substantial news coming in January for the CBRM.
And we'll definitely keep an eye out for that. And you touched on a lot of kind of the highlights of this year. Was there anything else, any other highlights you wanted to mention?
To be honest with you, there's a couple. One was making the school food program permanent. A lot of families, a lot of youth rely on programs like the school food program, and to make that permanent is really important to me from a local basis, but also a national perspective. And also making the dental program permanent. And we have thousands upon thousands of Cape Bretoners that are enrolled into the dental program. That is both a health initiative and an affordability measure. Those are two that are highlighted. You know, reducing taxes for 22 million Canadians is important. But I think too, like, to be frank with you, we're in a moment in history where we find ourselves in kind of the epicenter of change. And that means our relationship with the Americans, which impacts jobs, it impacts the economy, it impacts affordability. And I met with Prime Minister Carney last Wednesday, one-on-one at his request. We talked about issues in Atlantic Canada and Cape Breton. I came with three asks. I can't say what they are right now because they're important to Cape Bretoners, but I don't want to scoop myself. But once I'm ready to tell you, I'll let you know. We talked about affordability, and Prime Minister Carney said something to me that was really important. He said, "Mike, we got to do things now. We got to do big things and small things now, because we're changing how our economy works through major projects, through diversification of trade partners, and to do that for the benefit of Canadians." And doing that at the same time, it's a monumental task. So this whole elbows up mantra that we had during the campaign, it can't be just the campaign.
Right.
And it can't be just the federal government, and it can't be just the provincial government and municipal government. It's everybody, because change is here.
Can you just do me one quick favor? Can you just move the mic a little bit just so it's facing you, like, front on?
Oh, like this?
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Okay, yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, some of those challenges you touched on, you know, the ongoing, you know, kind of conflict between Canada and the U.S. That relationship is really changing. We're kind of figuring out what we're going to look like, what our relationship with them is going to look like. But were there any other challenges that you faced this year?
Well, I would say in terms of, well, maybe we'll break it down in terms of the national challenges and then work our way to regional and local. And some of them are connected, connected at the hip. But affordability still is a major issue for Canadians. And if you look at inflation is relatively stable, but tell that to any one of us who goes to the grocery store. So the fact of the matter is that we have now, as a government and as a society, need to wrestle with that. So that's a challenge that's ongoing. In terms of economic development, then one of the challenges that I see and one of the opportunities, Jacob, that I see is how do we maximize the Port of Sydney in relation to major investments in defense. Right. So if you look at just Nova Scotia in this budget, Nova Scotia is going to receive $2.4 billion in terms of defense upgrades on a variety of capacities. The question is, we don't necessarily, we have the Victoria Armories, but what else could we be doing in relation to supporting large centers that are focused on defense like Halifax? I think Sydney has an opportunity. There's also a challenge related to that is putting ourselves forward as perhaps a spoke into the hub that is Halifax in terms of defense. When I look at for the not-for-profit locally, one of the major challenges that I've seen and that I've been a part of with other not-for-profits in finding a solution is how do we make investments in not-for-profit infrastructure? For example, we have, for example, Mel Bryden in Reserve Mines, and he runs right. the Reserve Mines Seniors and Pensioners Association. How do we enable him to do more by investing in his actual building? So that's a new roof, a new kitchen, accessible washrooms. And I met over the last year with a lot of different not-for-profits, and I put forward a case to François-Philippe Champagne. He is the finance minister, and I said to him, we need a small infrastructure fund for community not-for-profit groups. And I worked with five other MPs across the country to make that case over and over and over again. It's in the budget. So that's a challenge that we have here in Cape Breton, but we've turned it into an opportunity in terms of making the case federally for investment in not-for-profits. Now that's in the budget. So there's a challenge, we made it an opportunity, now we need to execute. And I think one of the greatest challenges of any government, this federal government, past federal governments, future federal governments, and for that matter, provincial and municipal governments, is taking policy and making it actionable, execution. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be real key going forward.
Yeah. And I want to take it back just a little bit. You mentioned, you know, working closely with the Prime Minister one-on-one. You know, the election was in April, and I want to just get more of a sense of how you're feeling about his leadership since then.
I'm very impressed by his focus. I was impressed by his CV before I became a prime minister, but I'm very focused on the fact that he has said time and time again, and he said to me on a call when he was seeking my support for his leadership, and he's demonstrated this, is that for us to make strategic investments in social programs, we need a stronger economy. Mm-hmm. For us to have a stronger economy, we need to make investments in infrastructure. But also, it goes beyond that, Jacob. I think that, you know, there are moments in time in history where leaders either rise to the occasion or don't. Mm-hmm. To confront either a foe or a serious, serious challenge. We have Prime Minister Carney that has not a typical politician, right? He got into this late in life. He has a history of work in the financial sector and other realms. But he comes with a fresh perspective on what we need to do. And I'm very impressed by his, number one, his credibility, his focus, his honesty. Because a lot of times politicians may be clever in their nuance and how they describe something. I think when you can see this during scrums, when Prime Minister Carney's up at the mic, he's actually giving answers.
Right.
And you could see he's thinking about the question that's being asked. Mm-hmm. And if he thinks it's a question that is perhaps not up to snuff, he will call people out on that. Now, that to me is a bit of honesty that we need in politics and authenticity that electors are looking into their looking to their politicians rather. And I think his credibility, his leadership, his acumen, his track record, where he wants to go. I mean, he's very bullish and hopeful on Canada, mm-hmm. but he's also straight up with Canadians to say, there are certain sacrifices that we'll probably have to make as a country to get to a better place because of the unjust tariffs on the Americans. Because also, and it's not just the tariffs, Jacob, if you look at AI, for example, there's a lot of positivity around AI. There's also going to be a lot of challenges in terms of the economy, the people that are working in specific sectors that may not be there because of technology.
Right.
So we have a lot of work to do, a lot of focus on actionable items to help Canadians, while at the same time being honest and hopeful.
And there was just one issue I wanted to chat with you a little bit about, just because it's kind of been in the news lately, and it goes kind of along with, you know, the investments the Prime Minister is making in infrastructure. He signed a memorandum of understanding with Alberta for the construction of the pipeline from Alberta to BC. So I just want to ask you a little bit about how you're feeling about that.
Again, I'm feeling very optimistic about that MOU. The pipeline is getting a lot of coverage, but if you look at the MOU, there's a whole list of agreements in principle, I suppose,
right,
around renewable energy, around decreasing emissions, looking at the decarbonization of traditional energy. So I'm very optimistic on that. And I'm very optimistic on a couple of things, too, in relation to Alberta. I think it's really important to, you know, past governments may have shut the door right away on any type of collaborative efforts in terms of transporting energy from point A to point B. I think it was important to show Alberta that we're serious about being a partner with Alberta and that we're listening and that we're open to collaborations. That was really key for me. And look, the other element to this too is that we need to, I think, balance our approaches, is that we need to get product to market, but we also need to be focused on renewable energy. And traditional energy sources like oil, the Prime Minister has been clear on it. We need to look at the decarbonization of it. But let's be clear, too. There are some folks out there that say, like, let's shut down the oil sands tomorrow. Well, that's not realistic, quite frankly, because actually much of what is in this room right now comes from oil-based products. So the fact of the matter is that we have to have an honest, open, and careful and deliberate conversation on where we go as a country when it comes to energy.
But a balance.
And a balance. Yeah. And a balanced perspective. And I think life tends to find a way of changing things, not necessarily for the good or for the bad, but changing things. And I think with the Americans and their unjust tariff war, it's forced us to re-examine what it is and where it is we want to take this country. And I think Canadians are very much what you just said. Poll after poll on the pipeline, for example, would illustrate to me a very balanced approach by the electorate that they want us to take.
And getting back to kind of locally here, you're leading a new district now.
I am.
That is a pretty big change. So how is that going and how have things changed for you?
Well, listen, I had the privilege of serving Cape Breton Council, which was basically parts of Cape Breton Island and northeastern Nova Scotia. So I had Inverness County, Richmond County, Guysborough County, much of Antigonish County, and parts of CBRM. And then when I moved districts, it was a change, but it was a change that was a really, really good one. And I am so thankful for Cape Breton Council and what it provided me and hopefully what I provided to it. But Sydney, North Sydney, Sydney Mines, New Waterford, Glace Bay, Sydney River, Duncan and Morion and South Bar, and I know I'm going to miss some other locations, have been very kind to me. I think they know my work ethic. They know my passion. They know my drive. When I was knocking on doors, it was amazing on the doorstep. And look, the reality is, too, is that I approach this new riding like I did the last one, Jacob. I don't believe that you are only present during an election campaign. I believe that you go to the downtown core in New Waterford and talk on a regular basis, and you talk to folks on the street in North Sydney and Sydney Mines. I was born and raised here, so the fact of the matter is that it was instilled in me at a very young age by Mick and Dolores. Calloway dad was a coal miner and a mine rescue supervisor. Mom was a stay-home mom, and thank God she was, because I learned a lot from her. They always instilled in me, give back to your community. And this is the community that raised me and has given me everything. So the opportunity to give back to the CBRM specifically is really important to me.
And one other thing I wanted to touch on, kind of on a larger scope, but we have seen some of it kind of locally here in Nova Scotia, is people who have been crossing the aisle to join your party.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Chris D'Entremont down in my old stomping grounds in Yarmouth.
Yeah, cross the
aisle. Yeah. How are you feeling about seeing some people come over to the Liberal Party?
Well, you know what? It is part of the British parliamentary system, quite frankly. When Fred Tilley crossed the floor, I can say this now, I sent him a text and I said, "Hope you're okay. Look forward to working with you."
Mm-hmm.
I did that because this is part of the process that this particular mode of government provides, the British parliamentary system. What do I feel about Chris? I had a friendship with Chris when he was a conservative. We would go out and have a bite to eat. And I have a friendship now. Michael Ma, I do not know. But what I think this says is that we have, quite frankly, in Canadian politics, federally anyway, we've had the last 20-some years, the Conservative Party, Liberal Party, NDP Party, Green, and Bloc. Prior to that, it was the Progressive Conservative Party. The Progressive Conservative Party no longer exists, as we know. But there are some Progressive Conservatives that are in the current Conservative Party that feel very uncomfortable with the direction of the current leadership. That tends to happen. And when that happens, they have an option to be true to themselves and to what they believe a majority of their constituents would want.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chris came to that conclusion that he wanted to be part of the solution and that he didn't subscribe to a current leadership philosophy. Hey, we had floor crossers during the Trudeau government. We had an individual from Ontario who left the governing party under Trudeau and joined the Conservatives. If you look at the YouTube posts that Justin Trudeau made at the time, it was very much, we wish her well, we have a job to do. And I think this is part of the process. And I think we have seen folks, ministers recently say that there may be more. I don't know if that's accurate or not. Ottawa is not only the capital of Canada, it's the capital of rumors. And so I wouldn't take anything to the bank, but I would say, look, I know some Conservative members right now that are seriously questioning what they want to do politically, but also what do they want to do professionally. And that is their right.
Mm-hmm. And looking ahead now, how are you feeling about 2026, this coming year?
I am very, I'm always optimistic. I like to think I'm an informed optimist. So, but I'm optimistic, I'm hopeful. But it's not because of Mike Calaway. It's because we have, I think, a growing private sector and a very important not-for-profit sector that are working on major projects with my office that I think will lend itself to further development. If you look at the CBRM now, we have challenges with affordability and homelessness. On the homelessness front, we're working with a variety of stakeholders to tap into the Canada Builds initiative. That's important. When we look at economic development, we're looking at ways that the federal government can play a role, and I say a role. I think the federal government has a role to be the guide on the side, not the sage on the stage. What I mean by that, sage on the stage is the private sector. But government can play a role. And one of the announcements that I'll be making in January, I think the government will be playing a significant role in redefining what Sydney and the surrounding areas can be in relation to defense.
Mm-hmm.
And more on that, it'll be a step one. But I'm bullish on it, on Cape Breton. I'm bullish on the opportunities. I'm bullish and focused on the strengths of the people. And I think that we always hit above our weight when we're working together. Where we slide and where we don't do as well is when our island competes with each other.
Right.
And I think that you'll see evidence of what the collaboration looks like early in January 2026 because of the people of Cape Breton Island.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Is there a final holiday message you want to share?
Yeah, look, number one, Merry Christmas to you and to everyone at the coast. I think one thing I would like to say is that it's radio stations like The Coast that are locally owned, that still do news that is really important in terms of local journalism. And I would encourage people to go to The Coast and the other radio stations that do news to go for their sources of information. Do not go to Facebook for the news.
No.
Please, because the reality is that I love social media and I use social media. But being cynical and full of rage never fed a kid. Never built a house, never created a job.
Nope.
Get your news from local folks. Support local news. So that's one thing. But in terms of Christmas and the holidays, look, I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and a healthy new year. And know that I am grateful, and this is an opportunity for me to say thank you for placing your faith in me again. It means a lot to me and my family and my team. And one of the greatest fears is that I don't want to let people down, so that drives my energies. But what more than not drives my energies is Cape Breton and the opportunities that lie ahead. And boy, we have them, and now we got to seize them.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, Mike. It's always good to know that what we're doing here is appreciated. And I wish you an awesome holiday season and best of luck in the new year.
Okay, take care.